Turn your Bible with me to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. How many of you have been tempted since last Sunday? Whether it's a personal temptation or sensual temptation or material temptation. We all have. As I have said before, there is no sin in temptation itself. However, there's a sin, and what we do in that part, for the part of this temptation. If we go after temptation like a bunch of dummies, that is a sin itself. You know, temptation reminds me of Wile E. Coyote. They remember that the cartoon is that, I don't know, they still have that, probably they have a SpongeBob or something else on Saturday morning. It was one of my favorite cartoons. The Wile E. Coyote, they're going after this skinny roadrunner that almost like impossible to catch. Wile E. Coyote fall off the cliff. He gets whacked, he gets squashed, and he gets blown to pieces by his own explosive and get run over by the locomotive. And guess what he doesn't do? He never gives up. He never gives up. And the next scene, what happened? He prepared himself for another chase. You know, to me, the temptation is like a Wile E. Coyote. It does not know when to give up. There's no such a thing as a downtime. There's no such a thing as a vacation. It has the least be concerned about anything what we have, our education level, gender, age. So, you know, somehow as we get older, temptation should be less, right? No. Even the spiritual maturity. Now, the more you've been in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more mature you are, the temptation become more subtle and complicated. Otherwise, we would detect it long ago. It's more subtle. As I said last Sunday, chapter 5 through 7, Lord God speak to us through the King Solomon about the danger of toying with the sexual temptation. So if you will, you can say that this chapter 5 through 7 is God's sex education class. Far better than the sex education class that our children have in grammar school, which is very, very unbiblical, in my opinion, rather pathetic. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the enemy of our soul uses people and things to tempt us and desire our fall to dishonor your holy name. Let us not turn to the right or left, but always keeping our eyes on you, Jesus, standing on your word and your promise that we may have a firm foundation. We also lift up our youth, who are having a class right outside this building in the Ramada. Put the hedge of protection around them, Lord. Let them be grounded in your word that they may refuse the temptation that comes from their peers. We also pray for the President Obama's salvation, that he may know Jesus in the way the Bible describes. He may become a true born-again Christian so that he will do the right things in your sight. We also pray for the troops, especially the one in the harm's way in Afghanistan and Iraq and wherever they are. We also lift up our law enforcement personnel, the Border Patrol, DEA, and the Sheriff Department and Police Department, as well as the EMT and firefighters who protect our lives and our properties. We're asking you to protect their lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Book of Proverbs, please. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lives may keep knowledge. For the lips of the immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil, and in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet goes down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, that her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the word of my mouth. Who is this my or I? That's wisdom. Remove your ways far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, unless you give your honor to others, and your ears to the cruel one, lest alien be filled with your wealth, and your labor goes to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and in my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, and nor inclined my ear to those who instruct me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. Remember the Mount Sinai, God spoke to Moses and the Israeli people about the Ten Commandments. Remember the Seventh Commandment, chapter 20, verse 14 in Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. It says, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery. That's the seventh commandment. It declares that any sexual intimacy outside the bond of marriage is wrong. Even if between the consenting adults, the people love to use that word. God invented sex and gave us to enjoy properly between husband and wife. Anything outside of that is not right in the sight of God. Satan methodically and cunningly used liberal media, Hollywood, fashion world, and liberal educational system, and even the government official to spread this family-destroying strategy. Fornication, which is this sex before marriage, adultery, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, and other awful things. From the serial commercial on TV to teen movies on the silver screen, and just about every single TV sitcom and reality show, and to the sex education in the second grade of grammar school, are riddled with the sleaziness and free sex and homosexuality as normal life. There's nothing normal about it. People say, come on, the Bible was written several thousand years ago. This is the 21st century, that what is written in the Bible no longer applies in our lives. It is modern day. And they say, get real. No, they should get real. The biblical truths remain true, no matter what they are, no matter which period we are living. There won't be a jury sitting in the white throne judgment. And I'm glad there won't be any democratic voting system in heaven. Our God rules universe. You rule all the universe. And He patiently waiting for the people to turn their heart to Him. However, His patience will not last forever. Someday He will say, enough is enough. Hollywood portrayed the sex outside marriage, whether it's a premarital sex or adultery, as romantic as it can be. They even making the having sex is a process of getting to know intimately better. And they emphasize there's no consequences. Is it true? No, I say no. Do they ever show a teenage girl getting into the backseat of the car with a boy, have a sex, and then next day, boy dumped the girl? Because he got a notch on his carnal belt, and he takes off. And the girl think what went wrong. And then she realized she's pregnant. How about this scenario? A wife committed adultery with her office co-worker. And several months down the road, she went to a doctor. And she realized, she was told by a doctor that she has AIDS virus. Without knowing, she gave AIDS virus to her husband. And then she realized she's pregnant with their first child. That first child has AIDS as well. They never talk about that kind of thing. Get this, folks. Every single sin has consequences without an exception. Agree? Every single sin has consequences without an exception. Let's move down to the verse 15 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, a stream of water in the streets, let them be only your own, not for the strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice with, underline next few words, the wife of your youth. Underline that. And reach over to the next guy and underline his Bible too. As you loving dear and graceful daughter, let your breast satisfy you at all time. Always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by the immoral woman, be embraced with in the arms of the seductress? For the way of the man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponder all his path. His own iniquity entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cord of his sin. He shall die for the lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Folks, sex within the marriage is a beautiful river that brings life and enrichment and refreshment. But sex outside marriage is like a sewer that defiles everything it touches. I'm sure that you all have heard the myth of the greener grass of the other side of the fence. Yes, it is greener because it is located near the cesspool. Let's go to Hebrews 13:4. Hebrews 13:4. You there yet? Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. You see, folks, that the freedom of choice is one of the privileges God has given to the human race. But he instructs us and urges us to use freedom wisely. One of the deceitful things about the sin is that it promised the freedom while it only brings the slavery. It is impossible to sin without becoming the slave to sin. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is what? Slave to sin." Exactly. This handcuff I borrowed has a unique thing on here. Has what you call a gear? Is that what you call a gear, Mr. Mechanic? Okay, the idea of this gear is the more the criminals wiggled within this handcuff, the tighter it gets. Okay, so give me. Like this. Huh?
What key?
I
brought keys.
Oh, he has a key, right. Here somewhere. There it is. Let's see how good you are with getting out of the handcuff. The bond of sin gets stronger. The more we sin, the bond of sin gets stronger the more we sin. Yet the sin deceives us thinking that we are free and can quit sinning anytime. Haven't you heard some alcoholic or the drug addict says, oh, I can quit anytime. Right. As the invisible chain of a habit forged, we discovered our honor, our horror, that we don't have a strength to break from this bondage. Millions of people in our world today has one of this kind of a bondage or another, and are seeking for the deliverance, yet only one can truly set them free. That is Jesus Christ. Again, John chapter 8, verse 36. John 8, 36. Therefore, if Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. I ask you to underline the wife of your youth in verse 18. Many silly men think that, and I hope none of you guys think that since your wife is getting older, you need to find somebody who is younger to replace her. I have this question for you. If you're thinking that way, have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror lately? Guess what? You too have a wrinkly face. How would you like your wife thinking that maybe I should replace my husband because he's getting old? You don't like that, do you? All the lady says, amen, right? Now let's go to chapter 6, verse 24. Chapter 6, verse 24 in Proverbs. Back to Proverbs. To keep you from evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids, for by means of the harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. And an adult, do you think the Bible knows how to describe things? Yeah, here it is. Adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man note this? Highlight it, circle it, and put this in your heart. Can a man take a fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk in a hot coal and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touch her shall not be innocent. Move down to verse 32, please. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroy his own soul. Wound and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is the husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased though you give many gifts. Remember the time when you were young, you were thinking that you knew everything, right? Just ask that some teenagers, they know everything. You can do all things, there's nothing is impossible in your mind, and you are invincible. Do you still feel that way? No. Why? Because we got to learn about the truth. First of all, you are not God, and you cannot do all things, you don't know all things, and you are not that invincible. Many people have thought that in the same way, and did whatever their carnal desire drove them. That's why we have such a high rate of sexually transmitted disease known as STDs. According to the Focus on the Family, which is the Christian organization located in Colorado Springs, approximately 18.9 million new cases of STDs occur each year in America. 18.9 million. So if the man and woman both report probably doubling, and which 9.1 million, 48%, are among the person age 15 to 24. In the year 2000, the three incurable STD accounted for 88% of all new cases in this age group. So now it's 2009, you can bet on it, this ratio is a lot higher. So if you are married and you are flirting or committed the full-blown adultery with someone, please stop and think this. What about the trust from your spouse? What about the hurt you brought it to your children? What about your own reputation? And what about disgrace you brought to God's name? That's what the verse 32 was talking about, lacking understanding. When I said this last Sunday, sin makes us stupid, and I wasn't joking, and that is so true. Remember, God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, that we shall reap. Yes, I got it from the Galatians 6:7. Now let's go to the chapter 7, verse 6. Chapter 7, verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house. Note that, please. In twilight, in evening, in the black and the dark night. And there the woman met him with the attire of the harlot and a crafty heart, and she was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times, she was outside, at times, in the open square, looking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with the impudent face. She said to him, I have a peace offering with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with the tapestry, the colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on the long journey. Verse 20. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her. And underline next phrase, please. As an ox goes to slaughter. As an ox goes to slaughter. Or the fool to the correction of the stock, till the arrow struck his liver. As a bird is hastened to a snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Verse 24. Now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the word of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stay straight into her path, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to where? Hell, and descending to the chamber of death. How descriptive this is. We get the impression this young man is very dumb or very proud. Convinced that he can play with the fire and not be burned, and play with the sin and get away with it. He's only tempting himself and heading for trouble. To begin with, he was out at night. He was looking around. He was hanging around her path, her home, just asking for more trouble. And he was near the temptation and danger area while her husband is away. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 17, please. Proverbs 9, 17. Don't get me wrong. I agree that sin is fun for a season. Sin is fun for a season. If it's not fun, we would not do it, right? We do it because it's fun. And it's described more here, 9:17. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Isn't that true? During the almost 20 years of the ministry I've been in, I have listened to many sad stories of the adultery and people who indulge in sexual sin and suffer greatly. In almost every instance, the people deliberately, emphasis on deliberately, put themselves into the place of temptation and danger. Put themselves into temptation and danger. Let's go to Job chapter 31. Turn to the left, Proverbs, and Job 31. Verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Then why then should I look upon young woman? In some of your translation, if you have NIV or the New Living Translation, has a better rendering, in my opinion. Why would I look at young woman lustfully? Unlike Job, these people mentioned in the book of Proverbs, chapter 7, they did not make a covenant with their eyes not to look at woman lustfully. And nor did they follow the example of Joseph, who fled from sexual immorality. We are the only ones, listen please, we are the only ones who make ourselves to be tempted. Not Satan, certainly not God. So if you come up with the phrase, devil made me to do it, I'll slap you, silly. Devil cannot make you be tempted. Devil can lay down the temptation in front of you and in front of me. But we choose to go for that temptation. We make a decision to go into that temptation. Like this young man who chose to go to this woman's wicked woman's home at night. And he hang around enough for her to catch him. Now, I need to talk to you ladies. Listen carefully, please. Nowadays, the fashion world make a clothing for you and for your young ladies too tight, too short, too low, too high. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner, are you there yet? Mm-hmm. Ladies, don't close your Bible, okay? I'm not done with you. So open the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel. Modest apparel. With the propriety and the moderation, not with the braided hair, the gold and the pearls, or costly clothing, but which is proper for a woman professing godliness with the good works. When you buy clothing next time, when you stand in front of a mirror, ask yourself, with this clothing, am I going to make my brothers in Christ stumble? Or is this clothing, I'm going to give an impression to the man that I'm trying to show my body. Some of you ladies might say, well, there's some guys who will lust after a tree trunk if you put the woman's skirt around. Probably that's not far from the truth. But let me ask you to ask yourself this final question. Would you wear that clothing if Jesus is looking at you? Would you wear the clothes if Jesus is looking at you? I can just picture that some of you ladies are going to wear the gunny sack next Sunday. Just to be on the other side, right? Now I need to talk to those who already have violated sacred material and marital covenant between you and your spouse. Even if this does not apply to you, please pay attention. This is the important part. Is there any possibility for you guys to have a future as a husband and wife? Can your marriage survive? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. As long as the offender truly repents and the one who has been violated continuously forgive and rely on God's strength and mercy. To the one who was hurt, and each time the anger and the hurt from the betrayal comes to your mind, you can ask the Lord to help you forgive your spouse. Does he or she deserve your forgiveness? Probably not. Nor do you deserve God's forgiveness, but he chooses to forgive us. My sin or your sin is no different than committing adultery. But God chooses to forgive. As I have said before, I've never said that it is easy. It would be hard to think about holding your spouse's hand or embrace or kiss. But the Lord will heal it and even make it better if you let him. That's the key, if you let him. And to the one who violated the marriage covenant, please listen. No matter what kind of situation you had, don't come up with an excuse. You made a decision to pray, break the sacred marriage vow, and you made in the presence of God, in presence of your spouse, in presence of other witnesses. Please do not make any excuse. There is absolutely no room for any excuse or hardy heart because you are the offender. First, you need to return to the Lord and his word with a truly repentant heart. And second, you need to be transparent to your spouse for everything you do. Not the way the transparency this government talk about. True transparency. You cannot demand the trust and respect from your spouse because you broke them. You have to earn it back. It will take a long time. With the encouragement and the power from our Lord, you too can build that marriage back up and make it even better. There's hope in God. Who knows, Lord might use this difficult situation to help other people who will come along in the same kind of situation. We'll make two applications. Number one, do not think that you can handle the situation, handle this temptation, because you cannot. Okay? Don't ever think that you can handle the temptation. Let's switch this pronoun you to I and this you to I, and let's read out loud together. Do not think that I can handle temptations because I cannot. Get it? Let's read the 26:41, which is going to be a memory verse. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Second application, when you face temptation, call out the name of Jesus and run to him. When you face a temptation, when the temptation comes to you, don't just sit there, maybe I will resist. No, do what Joseph did. Run. Run like a mad person. And call out the name of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. 18:10. You there yet? 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, run to it, and are saved. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. You give us strength to resist Satan's temptation and trap. And whenever we face a temptation, let us not think that we can handle the temptation, but let us run to you and call out your name. Go with us and go with my brothers and sisters in this place. Strengthen them, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.